Thanksgiving week here at here in the America, it's a pretty widespread phenomenon nationally speaking, and this is the very week. Thanksgiving is really, really crucial in the Christian life. Psalms are filled with thanksgiving. I'm thinking of a song that I learned as a child in VBS. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Remember that song? I love that song. And that's there, and we've been doing that today, and I feel so blessed just to be here today, moved by the music, moved by this message from Brother Mike, Dr. Mike, Pastor Mike, whatever. What an awesome kind of vision. It's an exciting time to be a part of the ministry at Oakwood Bible Church. I hope you can feel that. We're having, as a church, a kind of a, I'm going to say a Nadia moment. A bit of hope has begun to emerge, and it's really, I mean, it's palpable, and it's seeping into every corner of the congregation, and it's having amazing results. For example, Tim and Laura Haynes. I hope I got the name right, did I? All right. They just welcomed into their family a brand new baby boy. So I want to congratulate them. Are you up there? Are you somewhere up there? It's Ezra Jeremiah. Ezra Jeremiah Haynes. And if you have not met Ezra, I encourage you to congratulate them and say hi to Ezra this morning. And wasn't it just last Sunday that I was preaching about Ezra? See, all this stuff is going on. Or was that Josiah? I don't know. But it's awesome. We have so much to thank God for, as was so eloquently and beautifully lifted up as a prayer to God by Jordan this morning. This is a super-duper Thanksgiving week, and I hope you have a blessed one. And my message is going to be kind of short today. We'll see how short exactly, of course. This is something that I never know exactly how to time these things. But I want to give you at the end of this, let's say I'm going to try and limit my remarks this morning to about 10 minutes, and then I want to give you 10 minutes, okay? And we're going to have placed around the room, hopefully, that's a faith statement on my part, a few microphones, and even upstairs, and I'm going to encourage you, sort of as the application part of my sermon, which is about the power of giving thanks. I'm going to invite you to actually give thanks. I thank God for. Now, I was totally inspired for this message in an experience that I had right here at OBC just last week. I was wandering around the building, and I was trying to get my exercise in. I like to walk around the hallways and go up and down the stairs a little bit. Nothing to excess, of course. All things in moderation, especially exercise. But, excuse me. I had, along these lines, I think you might be interested to know, quite a revelation about a week ago. I was in a parking lot, and for some reason, I was feeling extremely energetic, and I haven't done this in like 25 to 30 years. I actually started to run. I astonished myself. I had really thought that my running days are over. There's no way I can run, not even trot, not even jog, okay? In fact, I have studiously avoided such outbreaks of enthusiasm for years. Sure enough, I found myself actually jogging, and I can even do it around and so on. It's pretty cool. I can still run. It's amazing. So I ran upstairs and I went into the Family Life Center and I looked over into the corner. I saw this leafy tree, and it's an Awana project. I hadn't known about it prior. And this tree was shedding leaves, like all the trees around us this time of year. And I looked at the tree, and it's a tree of thanksgiving. Someone had this notion to, let's encourage the Awana children to say thank you to God. And I looked at one of them in particular, and I was moved by all of them, but the one that was my favorite that really just energized my soul and kind of inspired me to talk just about Thanksgiving this morning was the one that just had one word. Because all of these leaves were, of course, representative of things that we want to give thanks to God. Say something you want to thank God for. Write it down. Put it on a leaf. We'll put it on the wall. That's the kind of deal it was. And it was one word, and the word was God. And I just love that. Thank God for God. There's a God. I'm so thankful. Without God, there would be no meaning, no purpose, no significance, no life. But there's a God. And I thank God, like this child, whoever that was that wrote it, for God himself. Which gets me to sort of the point this morning, if there is one, and it's like Thanksgiving as a means of glorifying God. So what does it mean to glorify God? Well, I have a long, complicated sentence, like many of his sentences from John Piper this morning, that is, in fact, a definition of glory, or how to glory, or what is the nature, what do we mean when we say to glorify God? It shows up in a lot of mission statements. It shows a lot of there's a lot of talk about glorifying God. What is the purpose of my life? To glorify God by doing this or that. What's the purpose of a church? To glorify God by doing this or that, and that sort of thing. But what is it? What is it to glorify God? Well, and I like this quote, by the way, by John Piper. I think it's kind of important. Glorifying God is feeling and thinking and acting in ways that reflect his greatness, that make much of God, that give evidence of the supreme greatness of all his attributes and the all-satisfying beauty of his manifold perfections. So basically, this is just like that leaf that I saw, a little wordier. It's calling attention to God and to the excellencies of God's nature, the beauty, the transcendence, the loveliness, the grace, the mercy, the kindness, some aspect of the divine being that he has, under the circumstances of your life, been pleased to demonstrate to you. This becomes known by us and experienced by us, and then it spills out of us as a thanksgiving, a word of thanks. And this, in fact, glorifies God. It lifts him up. It calls attention not to ourselves or to our experience of him or to the revelation itself, but it reflects back upon God and shows others, all of us, one another, our community, what have you, anyone we may be in a relationship with, something about God, some aspect, some particular attribute, some magnificent attribute, or what have you. So this is, in essence, what we're talking about here. And thanksgiving is one of the ways. It's one of the, you know, Piper said, well, it's ways of thinking, ways of behaving, all those kinds of things that reflect back to God and call attention to his excellence. Well, one simple, straightforward, easy way of doing that is just to say thank you. It's quite simple, isn't it? In Psalm 50, verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. This is in a context which is somewhat critical, and it's surprising in this particular psalm because it's a little critical of the offering systems and the attention that people give to various religious behaviors, that they want to be interpreted in the community as being somehow evocative of the favor of God. And so they do these things. They bring the sacrifices and they give all these religious duties, and they perform them and so forth and all. But God is saying, look, here's what I'm after. This is the thing that pleases me the most. It doesn't have to be a bowl. It doesn't have to be, you know, any of this kind of stuff. Just acknowledge your dependence on me, man. Just say thank you. Thank you. And this glorifies God. When one of his children simply says, I thank God for fill in the blank, That is an action that has in tremendous power to actually reflect well upon our Maker and upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's how this works. This is one of my favorite verses. This is in the same chapter, in the same psalm, Psalm 50. And it just shows a process that we all can relate to as children of God. Now, just look at how simple this is. Here's what he says. You're going to be in a day of trouble. Let me just read the verse. Call upon me in the day of trouble. This is God speaking directly to you and to me, okay, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're in trouble, you call on me. You have a need, you call on me. I had the privilege, and I see Bernice Rabb is there in the back row this morning, and I got to sit with her and visit in her home just the other day. And I like to take spiritual lessons from my big brothers and sisters in Jesus. In fact, when I leave here and head back for Minnesota, I'm going to have a whole notebook full of these lessons that I've learned. And I'm serious about that. And Bernice taught me something as a big sister in Jesus. And here's what she said to me. She was praising God. She was in a long string of thanksgiving, just glorifying God, reflecting the glory of God. And I'm just seeing God all over this dear saint. As I mentioned this morning in the journey wall exercise, as I drove away, I thought to myself, I don't mean to embarrass you, by the way, Bernice, please forgive me. But I said to myself, if this church is raising and forming and shaping saints like this dear sister, there's some stuff that's being done right around here. And she had that kind of impact on me as I sat, you know, we were talking. And she's giving her testimony as to the provision of Almighty God in her life through the years. And how whatever she's needed, God has been there to provide. Just an awesome thing to think about. All I have needed, he's been there to provide. And graciously, he has done so. And that is the word that I'm picking up on from my big sister. And then she went further, unpacking a bit of a theological and a spiritual lesson for me, because I'm just a youngster. And it goes like this. Whatever you give him, she started preaching. She was preaching at me. And I was appreciating it. I was saying amen. Whatever you give him, he will take. He'll just take over. Whatever you hand off to God, whatever part of yourself you give to him, he will take responsibility for. And he will see to it that whatever his purposes are brought to pass. It's this old-fashioned idea of yielding yourself entirely to him. And I thought of this song I learned in another song in grade school. These are the powerful ones. You put your right foot in, you take your right foot out, you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the, what is it, hokey pokey? Is it hokey pokey? You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself, well, but I love the part. And this is what I admonish all of us to do when you get to the last verse. You put your whole self in. God, I'm giving you my whole self. Every part of my life. I'm going to give you my soul, my heart, my body, my mind, my children. My financial interests and needs. Everything about me. I'm going to give it to you, oh God. And according to Bernie, and she's lived this longer than I have, God will take care of the rest. He'll see to it. You give it over to him, and he'll see to it. So in the last year, since the last Thanksgiving or over here at OBC, I'm sure some of you, and probably sitting here even here today, you might even be in a time of trouble. It doesn't have to be severe, intense, chaotic, traumatic kind of trouble, but that could be the case. It might just be everyday kind of need. I'm feeling the need. And this is how simple this verse is. When you feel a need, you just call. You know, I sort of like the old tune, Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. It's like God is there. He's listening. He cares. He's committed. He's for you. I sound like Joel Osteen. But seriously, he is. He really is. He really does. And it's true. And here's what the Bible tells us. You in a day of trouble, you in a time of need, you got something that concerns you, he is able to take care of whatever it is that may concern you today. So you call upon him in a time of need, and who among us has not had some kind of need? A spiritual need, a financial need, a physical need, a family need, a concern, for example, about the church. You might have a concern or a burden that you carry. And here's what God said, you just call on me. That's our part here. Father, I need you. Please, Lord, show yourself strong right now. Because I'm in need. I'm in trouble, Lord. And here's what he says. I mean, seriously, that's all that is required. And then look what happens. I will deliver you. And once we experience God's deliverance, his salvation, I don't know, there could be someone here, and I'm going over my time that I allotted myself. I yield back the balance of my time to myself. I'm sorry. Come on, somebody needs deliverance in here today. I'm sure of it. You might not even know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That could happen. You could be a guest, a visitor. Maybe you've had some question about your spiritual status, relationship with God. I had a tragedy in my family this past week. I'll just briefly touch upon it. My nephew died suddenly. Andrew, he's like a 40-year-old man. And I won't go into any further details, but he suffered so deeply and intensely for the last 25 years in the area of mental health, having had a very severe kind of diagnosis that he has struggled with, and nothing could help him. So when I got word of it, my brother, my older brother Herb, it's his son, he's my, I think, oldest nephew, went home to be with Jesus. He's no longer with us. It's tragic, but at the same time, we know, because I was with Andrew. And I've been with my brother, and my brother has this assurance, and that whole family knows. Andrew knew Jesus for sure. He was messed up. He had pain like you couldn't believe. You can't even imagine the things that he went through. God took him home. He doesn't have that pain anymore. The reason I bring it up right now is because you need to have that same kind of assurance about your own soul. And you can have it. I mean, God's there. He's done everything. That's a definition of the gospel. It's an announcement concerning what God has already done in his Son, Jesus Christ, to provide you with all you need for time and eternity. The forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal life, that's all yours. If you have any question about it at all, today's the day. Listen to me. God's word is true. If he can save an old hippie like me from Minnesota back in the day in 1973, what do you think he can do for you? What he's done for others, he will do for you. And what he promises to us that he will do is he's saying, I will deliver you. You call upon me. You feel a need. Now, this isn't just for those who need the assurance of salvation, but if you do need the assurance of salvation, I call upon you to call upon him. And when you call upon him, here's what he's going to do. He's going to deliver you. And then what happens? You know, God orchestrates everything, everything, down to the details of even how I even got here and whatever, standing up here, and Dr. Mike this morning with that beautiful thing. I couldn't think of a better illustration of what I'm trying to say here. It says, you shall glorify me. Out of the experience of having had my needs, my deepest needs met by the power of God, through the once-for-all sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, and when I came and called upon him to deliver me. Deliver me from sin. Deliver me from Satan. Deliver me from death. And God made himself known to me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I was a child of God. And my life was forever changed. Ground Zero, 1973. Well, I've just been telling of his excellent greatness ever since. I can't help it. I can't help it. You shall glorify me. It's a natural response. When your needs have been met, my friend, you're gonna have an incredible hard time just quieting it down. We saw in that video that little boy. I don't know if you could hear. I don't have my hearing aid, so I struggled a little bit. I've got them, but I didn't put them on. That little boy, right? He comes into this room, and it's a brand new place, and suddenly, he'd never had no toys. But look here. He's got all these toys and things. There's a bed there. He can lay down by his mama and be warm and dry. And he's overwhelmed. This little kid, you can see it in his face. It's just like, wow. And so what is his response? He goes over to this lady, and he says, "Lady, can I give some of these toys away? I want to share these toys. I want to donate these toys. I want to give these toys to some other kid who needs toys." Did you hear that? Just that kind of generous response from the heart of a kid, and it's a natural thing. And that's what we're talking about here. You call on God. He meets your needs. Naturally flowing out of the depths of your heart, there's thanksgiving. So this is how it works. You have trouble. You ask for help. You give thanks. Okay, I'm done now. We have a few minutes for some thanksgiving. So do we have some guys with microphones or something? Let's put some. I want to hear you guys. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. These guys are runners. They can move. Even though I can run, I can't run 20 miles like these guys. And they're fast too. Who wants to say, "I'd like to thank God for fill in the blank"? Somebody. This is your time. This is Thanksgiving. Come on. We've got one up there. Look at all these wonderful hands going up. Praise the Lord. Let's take a little time. Go ahead.
Thankful for God's word.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Me too.
A few people know my wife, Mary. Well, knew her. And she passed in the first part of June. And at some point, of course, the money she had, whatever, went with her. And I asked the Lord about the hospital bill. And
yes.
Stuff. And he said, "I'll take care of it." And that was it. Time goes by, I get a bill. I'll just mention a big one first, $271,000 in change. That wasn't my part, but my part was I didn't have it anyway. So I was going to call him. I talked to my, I have a new personal banker now. Do I call him? I'll go ahead and call her. I lined up everything that I could think of to justify my getting some sort of a break there. So I called. You prayed about it. I just want to say what he wants me to say the way he wants me to say it. And I had everything lined up. So I called the young lady, talked to her, and nothing I said I had written down. Nothing. What came out, and probably 30 seconds or whatever it was. She said, "Well, can you wait a minute?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She came back a minute later. She said, "Well, they're working on the bill now. You don't have to pay anything." So he is true, and I was extraordinarily relieved.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do we have something, Andrew, up top? Let's give the folks up in the peanut gallery.
Right here.
Excuse me. I'm just kidding. Yes. The balcony.
I just wanted to thank God for faith and fellowship. It's truly a gift to have faith and fellowship, and I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I just want to
thank God because he is always faithful. It doesn't matter what we may be going through, what we may be feeling. He is always there for us, and we just need to keep that faith.
Praise God. Thank you. Amen.
My turn. Thank God for his armor.
Well, first of all, I want to thank God for these.
Why not?
Sorry.
We got that one. Oh, go ahead, bro.
Thank God for his armor that he provides, and I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but he protects me from evil that surrounds me every day.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Please, I'm sorry.
First of all, I want to thank God for these two gals who were in my children's church when they're about half the size they are now.
Amen.
But most of all, I want to thank God that I have learned that prayer is the key that unlocks all A-L-L doors. And I was alone for 16 years, very lonely and very sad, and I asked God that if he wanted to, he would bring someone in my life so I wouldn't be alone. But if he didn't want to, I wanted him to know that he was more than enough. So before you all today, I want you to know that God does answer his prayer. And he gave me a wonderful man for me to love and for him to love me right back. And I'd like you all to get to know my George Livingston, this guy right here. And I am thankful to God for him. I have learned many, many lessons over the years since I started in this church at 12. For my parents who have gone to be with the Lord. For I am the oldest of 8 children. And this one, who God gave a beautiful voice, has been here since her being in her mom's womb and given her a beautiful voice. Anyway, he's telling me to hush up. I can't because I am so full of thankfulness and blessing that I can't shut up, but I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll keep it short and sweet, but I just want to say that I'm thankful for modern medicine and surgeons who have magical hands.
Amen.
I'm just thankful to be here.
Praise God.
I almost didn't make it last year. And I was trying not to think about it, but I had the possible diagnosis of pancreatic cancer hanging over my head, and I found out last week I don't have it. The cyst is gone.
That's awesome. Glory to God. I wonder if I could invite our musicians to come forward so you guys are ready when we're done, because we want to end with a song of praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God, but not before you guys are done.
Well, this verse especially touched me this Sunday. Well, as many of my Christian friends in this room that have followed me from a young couple married and followed us here to this church, life presents troubles. And it's only through my Lord and Savior that he has saved me and answered my troubles, even though it's been 30 years from the one most on my heart, one of my children. And after 30 years, and I was prepared, and we were all prepared to accept his giving, that we were able to find a place for my son. And I just want to thank everybody for their prayers, and most of all, my Lord and Savior.
Amen. There's Sister Bernice. You got to get that thing up in your, right up in there so we can hear you. Thank you.
Last April, I was told that I only had 6 months to live because I was in hospice. And I always, years ago, down through life, prayed I'd be 100 someday and that I would be in good health. I'm getting close. Not in good health. I'm at the stage now where I can go to say something and then forget what I was going to say.
I'll meet you there. I'm in that same spot.
I guess I said what I wanted to say. I was supposed to only have 6 months, but now I'm still here. I went off from the Fosamax or the hospices, and I'm still here, and I'm thankful for that.
Praise God. Okay, any more? I'm fixing to turn this over for closing. Oh, we do have a couple more? Okay.
I just.
Go ahead.
I'm first. I just want to say that I am so thankful for my Christian son here and granddaughter and daughter-in-law and their children, that they are serving the Lord and they love Jesus so much. They've been baptized here. And I've gone here for many years now. I'm a pastor's daughter, and I know Dad and Mom are in glory, and I long for the day to see them. I also want to say I'm thankful for America.
Yes.
We live in the best land ever, and we need to keep in prayer for our president. There's so much going on, and people want to get rid of him. And I truly believe that God put him in there for a reason when he was elected. And I just pray that we, as Christians, need to keep in prayer for America, because we know eventually what's going to happen. I believe we are in the last days, but God is in control. And some days I get kind of anxious and I think, oh, what's going to happen? But I know what's going to happen. The Lord Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And take us home.
Amen. That's right.
Lord, I'd like to thank you for the weaknesses you've given me.
Yeah.
Because in my weakness, your strength shows forth. And I also thank you for the thorn in my flesh by which you humble me. Thank you.